Up here.
His house.
Women and more kids. Here's a chair. Here's a couple others here. And
take these ones here.
Roll, over here.
I'll find some other ones.
Roll mine.
These are like the front row.
Any further citizen comments? If not, that is closed. I have no reports. Are there any committee reports? Seeing none, the minutes of March 12th are before
you. So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Right, the item 6 on the agenda, a resolution for carryover from 2014 to 15.
Mr. Chairman, you have the resolution in the packet, and we'll start out, if it's okay, with the committee, with Kathy walking through the financials and a few other pieces, and then the budget director will also make some comments.
All right. Kathy?
Hello, everyone. Starting out with the, says page 2 on the bottom, right after the cover page. Go to the financials first before the resolution. We're getting ready for the auditors. They're coming in the first 2 weeks of May, so we've got the books closed out, and that's what we want to report to you tonight. One of the most interesting things on the balance sheet is our equity section, the fund balance. I want to just point out the general fund, and that's the fund balance is what our bond rating agencies look at to see the health of the county. And so we look at that quite a bit, and Al Swartz will be giving you more of an analysis of our general fund balance. But what we do is we have to pull out some items. We call it unassigned. At the very bottom, you see the italics unassigned, and that's 15,016. The other numbers above that are in our fund balance, but they're for a certain purpose. So we pull out our carryovers of 1.3 million, the DARE program money, some encumbrances, and the amount for delinquent taxes of 7.7 is actually lower than it was the year before. So that's a good sign. Our delinquent taxes, our receivable has gone down. So we have a healthy look there. Some of the other fund balances that we have to restrict are in the human services. We have money from a bequest that is held out, restricted for legal purposes. The debt service money is only to be used for debt service, so that has to be restricted. The health department has the city's contribution share, $269,000, which was also a decrease from the year before. The housing authority, the library money. So the other monies there are monies that have to be set aside for a certain purpose, and the carryovers for the non-major funds. So you can see that. Just wanted to point out the fund balances where we look on the balance sheet to see the health of the county. And we'll talk more about that healthy fund balance in a little bit. There is a column on the first page. It says non-major governmental funds, and they are, we have the detail on the next two pages, so you can look at that. The housing authority, health department, the library system, the GIS system. Those are other funds that are called non-major. On page 4, we have the capital project funds. There's Parkland Development, Western County Communication, Energy Reduction. And I wanted to point out the administration building restoration. That was a plan. You can see we have negative cash and a negative fund balance of $1.4 million. And the plan was there that we would do the project, which is this building here, the renovation, and we're getting the bond money in 2015. So it looks kind of funny there, but we got it. We're able to get the work done more than what we, quicker than what we thought. So we took the advantage of that to save some money, and we'll be getting the bond money shortly. And then we have the public safety access point fund, and the other projects are in the other capital projects are various projects we're doing here at the county. The next page I'd like you to see is page 5 and 6 is the income statement, and in general, the general fund, If you look on the second page, you have your total revenues, total expenditures, and then on the second page six, you can see our net change in fund balance is 3.8 million. And you'll see that, I mean, that's pretty nice net income there for, we'll talk about how we got there. Al's going to talk about how we got to that point. And then the other income statements are just the detail of those non-major funds on page 7 and 8. If anybody has any questions, there's really not too much to report there. The capital projects, again, on page 8. Then we have our proprietary funds on page 9, which is Brookside, Highway, and Golf Course. And it just highlights those funds, and then our internal service funds are also proprietary. In other words, the accounting is done as a for-profit compared to the governmental accounting that are in the governmental funds. So in this case, we have fixed assets showing. You can see the assets of Brookside, Highway, and Golf. You have depreciation and inventories and things like that, so it's more running it like a for-profit. And I'd like to point out there, looking at their income statements on page 10, for the proprietary funds, we have Brookside, and they actually, you see a negative property tax. That's because Brookside helped us decrease our tax levy. So they actually donated or raised more money so that we could lower our levy. The $578,000 is a negative. And they were able to transfer some surplus from the year, and we'll show you that later. Highway also had a surplus to be transferred out. Golf course ended up in the black. And so I think you were aware of that too. I just wanted to point that out on page 10. And then the internal service funds are detailed on page 11 and 12. That's the human services building, which is the job center building. The health insurance fund, you can see we had at the very bottom, $1.5 million. I'm sorry.
Kathy, what was the amount of golf courses in the black by?
This says $219,000.
Where are you?
But it's the column on page 10 is the third column in.
Yeah, but where's the 219?
Very, I guess,
oh, I see it. Okay.
Change in that position.
Oh, that's what, all right.
But, and that's, the thing about it is, you know, during the year, we're reporting how they're doing on a cash basis, and then when we do the audit, we have to record depreciation and things, so it changes the number that you might have heard before, but they're in the black, and we're able to cover their depreciation and interest. And I think next year their loan should be, the loan will be paid off, so they won't have the interest expense next year.
And how much is that? That's
the interest was $24,000, and probably less. I think it's like $18,000.
Okay. So we're going to keep it now.
Otherwise, I think then on page 13 we also have a fund called Agency Fund. And that's money that we collect and we have to hold for the state or other governments or for other people. So I just wanted to show we had $4.2 million in there. That's like fines, fees, things that we collect, but the money's really due to the state or some other municipality or other people. So it helps our, that's cash we have to manage too. Then on page 14 is our resolution. I'm going to hand it over to Al.
I'm going to need a couple different, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to need a couple different approvals. One is on the resolution, and as part of the resolution, we have the carryovers, and that's on page 16. The carryovers we have here is we have facilities carrying over an energy efficient project that they've been working on over a couple years. I believe we carried some money over last year. The DA, we have some additional money we're carrying over for witness, expert witness fees. The K-9 capital project side and facility and public works, we're carrying some money over for the Fox River roof and for the some of the money that was left from the Pets property acquisition. We had some surplus money that we're just going to put that in the Parks Improvement Fund. Then we have some capital projects and facilities. We have some money left from the KCAB restoration funds here. We're going to use that over in the in the acquisition of property in the parking lots here. We're going to need some additional funds there. And then we have Civic Center parking acquisition. We're going to carry over some money there. Brookside, we have some additional funds we need for it's a never-too-late system for dementia patients and some chairs for their conference room. And then the final carryover is in the highway. We want to carry over some of the Kemper Pier money to be used for the Kemper Road project. But these are the capital projects, or the capital projects and the normal carryovers that we have that are included in the resolution.
Rick?
Yeah, I see the first resolution. I don't have any language for the second resolution.
There's only one resolution.
Oh, okay. You said there was two.
I have two approvals to get. One is on the resolution, and the other is on a part that the Finance Committee approves only, and it doesn't go to the full board.
Okay. Does everyone have this carryover resolution?
Yeah.
The other piece of the...
You do?
Okay. The other piece included in the carryover resolution, there's some language there to appropriate some revenue and expense for the jail bracelet project. If you recall, the sheriff proposed putting that in the 2014 budget. We didn't appropriate any funds for that project. This just cleans that up. It just appropriates the revenue and expense for that. They were within their budget, within the appropriation, but this just cleans up the 2014 budget. And those two are included in the carryover resolution, those carryover funds that I explained, and this budget modification. So I need to get a separate approval on this item, and then we can go on to the next.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the carryover resolution from 14 to 15?
So moved.
Is there a second? Further discussion? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All
right. Then I'm going to... And look at page 18. These are items that the Finance Committee just has to approve. The first one is for a table base for purchasing for $232. Since it's under $1,000, Finance Committee approves that. The other three are repurposing of capital items. So they're staying within the same account. We're just repurposing it. The Sheriff's Department has a carousel, a property carousel that they installed, and they want to do a couple additional things to that carousel. They want to add an extra switch, and they want to remodel some rooms adjacent to that carousel and then change it. Charge out room, whatever a charge out room is.
Change out.
Or change out?
Yeah.
Okay, charge out, whoever type. But they're looking at, they have had some additional funds for that, for the change out room. And then the final one is they want to repurpose some Kemper roof funds, and they want to use them at some roofs for Fox River Park, which they don't have sufficient funds. But these are four additional items that we need the Finance Committee to only approve.
Discussion on those items?
Well, I'll move to approve them.
All of them?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a discussion? Rick? Is there a discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Rick?
Chairman, I forgot at the beginning of the meeting to ask to have Ron Frederick excused. He's serving on the board for Gateway out of town, and he asked that he be excused from the meeting.
We've already noted that.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, are you finished? No? Okay.
On page 19, part of the fund balance policy for the county says that funds that have surplus funds would transfer that and lapse the money into the general fund. So we have that situation this year on page 19. We had the Human Services Fund, which is that first column, was able to transfer 915.
That's the wrong page. We need to put the transfers up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's there you go.
Okay.
The Human Services Fund was able to give back $915,000. The Health Department, $134,000. There's the golf course column where I talked about they had a surplus. The policy said that golf course can keep their money now to help with the capital projects there in the golf course, so that $88,000 stays in the golf course. Brookside was able to lap $692,000, and this is the last year for Brookside. The coming years, Brookside will keep the money, and that'll be used for the project of building the paying debt. So they will not be lapsing money after this year. And then Highway was able to lap $799,000. That Al will talk about how we ended up with that. But at the bottom of the page, one of the things that the bond ratings look at and the GFOA suggested is that we have 17% of the general fund expenditures set aside in our unassigned. And this year, our goal, 60,507 was our expenditures, and 17% of that would be 10 million, and we have 15 million in the unassigned. So we're, instead of being at 17%, we're higher, we're almost at 25% in our unassigned, which is the healthiest we've been for a number of years after the recession that we went through. And Al's going to speak to that.
Page 20 is a general fund report. Here we have good news that the general fund went from 11.6 to 15, almost 15 million. The major things that affected the general fund and increased the general fund were health insurance. We had a savings there in the health insurance fund. Human services had a numerous revenue things that were over budget. Medicare revenue, intergovernmental revenues, mental health expense savings, Brookside Medicare revenue. Highway had state, municipal, and local transportation aids surplus. Facilities, we had a surplus in utilities and some of the building maintenance. Registered deeds revenues, state shared revenue. The biggest one here is our sales tax was at an all-time record, and we almost had a $2 million surplus in sales tax. Juvenile intake detention. Decrease in tax delinquencies is the first time in, what, 5 or 7 years, Dave, we've seen a decrease in delinquencies. Right. Delinquencies were in fact,
since 05.
And we're, in fact, reducing our general fund, if you recall from our reports and our financials over the years. Share of federal income revenue was up, but if you go to the bottom half when I get there, you'll see there's an offsetting expense. And then the miscellaneous department surplus. On the negative side, well, first off, before I get to the negative side, we used $260,000 in the 15 budget as for reserves to fund the budget, so that's being pulled out of there. And then some of the things that caused the general fund to decrease, we did not hit our vacancy adjustment, but with health insurance above, if you netted the two together, we would in fact hit the vacancy. Circuit court revenues were down, treasurer revenue was down slightly, ordinance fines was down significantly, indirect cost revenue was down $100,000. Profit and loss on tax deed was negative. We really don't budget much there, but when we have to board up houses or do certain things, that impacts that, or maintain the grass or the snow on tax deed properties. DHS, children in institutions, we had more days in institutions, we had more days in foster care days. Sheriff's Department, some of their revenues were down $350,000. Safety building, jail fines, and building maintenance revenue was down $116,000. Liability insurance, and then the sheriff's overtime and other jail expenses offset that revenue from the housing of prisoners. But the good news is the general fund went up $3.4 million, almost 3.5. We are over our 17%, our county board policy, 17% by $4.7 million. The general fund currently is unaudited, sits at almost 25% of our general fund spending. So this is good news at this point. I know as we've ratcheted budgets and made them fairly tight over the next couple of years, I don't expect this, I don't want to call it this great of, I expect our balance, our budgets to stay balanced, but I don't expect to have this type of surplus. Just because we continue to ratchet our budgets tighter and tighter every year, as long as we keep doing low percentage increased budgets, it's going to be very difficult to see this type of results every year.
All right, discussion. Jeff?
I just have a question. So all of the inmate money was used for overtime?
And other things.
Okay. I don't remember it being that way in the past. Was it, did it all go to that in the past?
I just didn't make enough change. Most of it to cover overtime. In August, we brought a resolution.
Where did we finish with number of, as we budgeted with number of inmates? How did, do you recall how we finished?
216, I think.
Yeah, 216 average per year.
And what, we did 199 or?
195, I think.
195.
Went down to. So when I was, we budgeted, we were at 216.
Right, we were well over what we planned to have for our feds. Yeah.
What are we at now?
Today was 193. We're way down this year. We budgeted 199, but we're in the average probably 175, 180 for a year to date.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's make a note of that.
Yeah, I'm done. Okay. Any other discussion?
Just that I need, I don't think I got a separate, did I get a separate vote on both items?
We did.
They voted and approved both items.
I'll move to approve this.
Yeah, Russell, what is that?
We did.
Yeah.
I thought.
We did already. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were finishing the resolution. We had to approve the.
No, this concludes the report. If we voted on both of the items separately, this would be the report on where we are.
You don't have to vote on the report.
Okay. No.
All right, thank you. All right, let's move on to the next item, which is the recommendations of classification compensation study. And Bob Riedel will present that, and our consultant from the firm will, Heather Kazemi, who will present it to the committee, and she's with Siegel Waters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good evening, everybody. About a year ago, the county began this process, maybe just a little bit further. The county board had budgeted in last year's budget the opportunity for us to do something we hadn't done in 15 years, which was to begin taking a series of close looks at our wages and our total compensation package that includes everything, the health insurance, the pension plan, to find out where we are positioned in our employment market. Not just the public sector, as we used to have to do when we negotiated contracts, but the private sector as well. And so this is the first report of three that the board will hear from over the next couple of years as we segregate groups of employees to be analyzed in this way. We selected Siegel Waters to be the consultant to the county on this, largely because there are comprehensive private sector databases that we could draw from and to make sure that we are consistent with the private sector. Public sector stuff is real easy to get because we all have to release it. Private sector stuff isn't quite so easy to get because of proprietary nature of things. So we want to be competitive as an employer. We want to pay appropriately. We want to make sure our benefits are consistent and have value. And so we are undertaking this process. This group or this report will cover unclassified employees, what we used to call non-reps, clerical employees, and highway division employees. We've already begun the process for looking at our corrections employees, and then the balance of the employees will come in an analysis that will come later. Heather Kazemi is the vice president at Siegel Waters. She is our consultant. She has been terrific to work with, and I got to give her credit because she got here in extraordinary fashion today. She had a 2-hour flight delay and flew in about 5 minutes before the meeting started. So With that, I will turn things over to Heather, who will explain what we are proposing.
Hi.
Thanks. And thank you for inviting me here. I am very pleased to share with you the results of this study. We've been working for several months on this, and so I'm very happy to be at this stage. Advance to the next slide.
What page? First page?
Yeah, first one. This is the outline for the discussion today. I have 16 slides. I know every consultant comes with a PowerPoint, so we came with a PowerPoint, but it only has 16 slides on it. Starting with talking about the study goals and objectives, that is what you asked us to do and what we were trying to accomplish. I'll talk about the methodology, that is the approach we took to collecting the data and analyzing the data, coming up with our findings. Third is to talk about what we found, and that will be the majority of the presentation, and then recommendations based on those findings. Feel free to interrupt me throughout this. Of course, we'll have time at the end for discussion, but if you have any questions about anything on any slide as we go through, please feel free to ask me. So the study goals and objectives, what did you ask us to do? The first thing was to update the county's job classification structure. And here I want to emphasize, as Bob did, that we're looking at the clerical positions, the highway positions, and unclassified positions. That covers about 380 employees in the county currently. So we looked at the job titles, and we made recommendations to modernize those, to update the titles and the job descriptions. Really straightforward task. The less straightforward task is the next one, which is to conduct a total compensation market assessment of both the public and the private sectors. And what does total compensation include? For this analysis, we looked at salaries, that is the pay ranges. Every job in the county has a scheduled pay range, going from the minimum, that is the entry starting point of the new employee, up to the maximum that any employee can make in that particular job title. So we looked at the minimum and the maximum pay ranges for each job title. We looked at pay practices. We looked at, those are the compensation policies that are prevalent in both public sector and private sector. We looked at paid leave. We looked at the cost of health benefits and the cost of retirement benefits. With those findings, we recommended an updated salary schedule and pay ranges for all the jobs in the study. And that's what you asked us to do, and that's what we did. So our methodology, how did we approach this? We looked again at both public sector and private sector. On the public sector side, we did a custom survey. That is, we designed a survey asking what we wanted to know about. We sent it to 18 local area counties and cities. Most of these, 16 of them, are in Wisconsin, so your neighbors and surrounding jurisdictions, but two are also in northern Illinois. So that's how we collected data on the public sector side. On the private sector side, we have a fairly extensive library of private sector data. These are published sources. They're current, well-respected, nationally known firms that collect and analyze private sector compensation data, such as the Economic Research Institute, IBM Connexa, Towers Watson, World at Work. These are common names in this field for companies that collect this and report this kind of information. We also included the most recent results from the Kenosha Area Business Alliance that collects data from only employers, private employers in this area. So those were our data sources for the private sector. We identified some benchmark job titles. We selected 87 job titles from these three groups. And these job titles represent 78% of all employees in the clerical, highway, and unclassified groups. This is a very high percentage. Normally, we're looking for anywhere from 50% to two-thirds. So we feel very confident that we have data that is highly representative of the workforce. We broke the benchmark titles into the following groups and job families, as you see in the slide. It covers all the departments in the county and all the job types and clerical highway are close. Next, there were a couple of adjustments we needed to make to the data. And we did this to ensure that we have that apples-to-apples comparison.
Okay.
The first kind of adjustment we did is a geographic adjustment. We looked to ensure that if we're collecting data from some counties and some areas that are in lower cost places, that we adjusted those data to reflect the costs here in Kenosha, or alternatively on the other side, areas that have higher costs. For example, lower cost area is Sheboygan, so the pay rates there were adjusted upward to recognize the geographic costs of Kenosha, whereas Lake County is a more expensive county to be in, and so we adjusted those down. So some upward, some downward, again, just trying to get that apples-to-apples comparison. We also had to adjust some data for work week. Some of the public sector employers that we surveyed have a 37.5-hour work week, which is a little different than typically in private sector, and as it is here in Kenosha, is a 40-hour work week. So when we're looking at pay rates, we wanted to make sure we were looking at the same length of time that people are working. So to the extent we had annual salaries, we adjusted them to a 40-hour one. So what do we find? Let me tell you what this table says here. This table is showing the overall base pay. So just starting with the pieces of total compensation, starting to look at base pay. This table shows the county's market position, that is your pay ranges, as a percent of the market average. So if we looked at that bottom row there, where it says overall, what this is saying is that on average, over all these jobs, the minimum or starting salary for the jobs that we looked at is 91% of the market average. In other words, about 9% below the market average. The closer you get to 100% in any of these numbers means it's market competitive. So anything close to 100% is market competitive. Generally, our standards are anything less than 95% of market would be considered below market. Anything above 105% would be considered above market. So it's a 10 percentage point corridor. So any of the numbers on this table that are in red are below that 95% standard that we'd be looking for. So as you can see, we broke out the public sector and private sector. The county's pay rates are less competitive with the private sector than with other public sector employers. So what these numbers are saying is that at the midpoint of the pay range, the county's pay ranges are about 10% below the private sector market and about 3% below the public sector. Same numbers, just in graphical form, showing public sector on the left, private sector in the middle, and then the overall, that is the combined public and private sector on the right. So you can see the sort of green dotted lines in the middle there. That's what would be considered competitive. In the public sector, you're almost there at the minimum, and there at the midpoint and maximum. But for at each point in the pay range, lower than the private sector average. On the next page, we broke out the findings for the three employee groups we were looking at, clerical, highway, and unclassified. What we found is the pay ranges for unclassified, is what you used to call the non-represented group, are further behind market than the other groups. Clerical, just right on 96%, just into that market competitive corridor. And then the highway jobs are a little bit more competitive, particularly as you get up further into the top of the range. On the next page, we move on to the other pieces of total compensation. The first one we looked at is paid leave. And we collected information on vacation days, paid sick leave days, holidays, and any personal or floating days. Here at the county, you have what's called a PTO program, or a paid time off program, which combines vacation and sick and personal days all into one pool of available days off that employees can have. A more traditional public sector government approach would be to have separate numbers for each of these. You'd say you have so many vacation days a year, so many sick days a year, and so on. But at Kenosha, and which is more typical also in the private sector, is to have this pooled paid time off. So the way we compared it was to just simply add up the number of days in the traditional plan, as you would see in all the other counties and cities that we surveyed all have a traditional plan. We added up the number of days an employee has available to them for paid leave. And since that does differ based on the years of service an employee has, we compared it at different service years. And what we found is that the county's PTO program offers fewer days off than a typical program in either the public sector or the private sector. I think it's the market gap is starkest compared to your public sector peers. Generally about 7 to 9 days fewer, depending on how many years of service. On the private sector side, we looked at both those traditional programs as well as the PTO programs. We found those traditional programs look a lot more like you would see in the public sector, hence more days off than the employees have here currently. But the PTO programs look a little bit more like. The next page shows the same information in graphical form. What this shows is in the public sector, it's typical to have anywhere from say 33 to 45 days off, paid leave days, depending on how many years of service you have. But here at Kenosha, it ranges from 26 up to 36. So generally, at least a week. Local area. So that's paid leave. The next slide starts to address health benefits. We looked at the cost sharing of health benefits in the county. And we looked at both medical plans and dental benefits. And the medical plans include prescription drugs. So this is really the bulk of all health benefits to employees. The Kenosha's cost sharing arrangement is about 90%. That is, the county pays about 90% of the monthly costs or the premiums of health and dental benefits for employees. And that's comparable to the public sector average. We found among these cities and counties that we surveyed that on average it's about 89-90%, more or less the same as here at the county. In the private sector, however, the employers tend to pay less. Not less necessarily in dollar amounts, but less in terms of the percentage of the total cost. So what we found there is the average, depending on the type of coverage you have, about 68 to 78% of the total cost of healthcare coverage. So on average, about 71%. Now these dollar amounts vary, I should say, by many, many variables. It depends on plan design, type of plan. We only looked at PPO plans here so that we could at least have something comparable to the county's benefit plan. But the size of the group, that cost, the claims experience, the plan design, all kinds of things. So what we really want to focus on here is the percentage of cost sharing. The next page talks about retirement benefits. Most of the surveyed employers in the public sector side participate in the Wisconsin retirement system as you do, which requires a 7% contribution from both employees and employers. So that was pretty standard for most of the cities and counties we looked at. The two employers in Illinois, however, participate in the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. And they have a higher employer contribution rate, generally 11 to 12%, but a lower employee contribution rate, right now 4.5%. And these are actuarially determined, as you know, and can vary, but are consistent per year. On the private sector side, we find that private companies are more likely to offer a defined contribution plan, something like a 401k, and less likely to have a defined benefit plan like the Wisconsin retirement system. But interestingly, we found that of those, about a third of private sector employers that do offer a defined benefit plan, that their required employer contribution rate is significantly higher than what we see in the Wisconsin retirement system. So it's generally more than 10%. So it's kind of an interesting conundrum in this. It's less prevalent, but it tends to cost more. And then on the defined contribution type plans, so the 401k plans, what we see is a typical employer contribution rate there. It's typically a matching contribution based on what the employee puts in, but it's generally around 4 to 5% of pay. So overall, what we found, though, is in the private sector side, retirement plan costs tend to be a little bit lower than in the private sector than in the public sector. Not significantly, 7% is a fair number here, but it's not quite as low as what you would see in a typical private employer. Next page brings it all together in terms of total compensation. So we looked at base pay. On the private sector side, we also included bonuses or short-term incentives that you would see in the annual costs associated with that. Generally only see that in the private sector, not the public sector. We looked at health plan costs, and we also looked at the retirement plan contributions. So interestingly, in the public sector, your market position, the county's market position, improved slightly. And that's because of your higher medical plan costs. So looking at the midpoint of the range there, when we looked at pay only, Kenosha is 3% below the market average. That's that 97% you see there, talking about 3% below market. When you total all the everything up compared to the public sector, you're at 99% of the public sector market average. But even more interesting, in the private sector side, your market position stayed exactly the same. 87% is the minimum of the range, 90% the midpoint, 91% the maximum. And that was because while you have higher benefit costs than you would typically see in the private sector, that's offset by the fact that the private sector has variable pay costs, such as bonuses and short-term incentives that are paid to employees, generally based on the profits of the firm, some of the employees' performance, things that vary where you can do that in the private sector, where it's very atypical to do that. The next page shows the same information in graphical form. Each of the bars here, the bar on the far left, shows the public sector average, and it shows each piece of the total compensation. Of course, the big piece being the base pay. That slice of orange right there are the health benefit costs, and the dark blue is retirement benefit costs. And then the next bar shows the private sector average, and it has that green slice in the middle, which represents the average bonus or short-term incentive. And then Kenosha County is on the right. So essentially what we found is that the total compensation, when you include everything, the private sector side, it's about $10,000 more a year than the public sector for these same jobs, these same types of skills or responsibilities. So what did we do with all this? What do we recommend on the next page? We recommended some new pay scales to be competitive with both public and private sector. We've consolidated the pay ranges and pay scales that you currently have, which are fairly disparate across the three employee groups. And we're recommending two consistently structured pay ranges, one for non-exempt jobs, that is jobs that are paid hourly, and the other for salary jobs, which are the what we call exempt jobs. And And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Bob, unless there are any questions.
Thank you.
On these recommended pay scales, you've got NE1 through NE10 for the hourly, and E1 through E16. I'm looking at when we have I have a listing of the existing jobs, and I can't translate this into that. How do we translate which of these jobs fall into these ranges?
That's exactly what Bob was going to talk to you about.
Okay.
The best comparison is the wages. And so I'll take a...
Do you have those for distribution to all of us?
They were distributed with your packet.
Does everybody have that?
So the proposed pay scales is this that came in your packet. So what we have done is we have taken the pay scales that are identified, E1 through E16 and N1 through NE1 through NE10, and placed job titles within those wage categories. Now, everyone in this room who is clerical, highway, or non-rep had the opportunity to fill out what we called a JDQ about a year ago. We matched that, which is your and your department's analysis of what you do on a day-to-day basis. We matched that with a job description, and Siegel takes that and compares it to the market of similar jobs which do similar types of work, and then categorizes them. One significant change, and this was county, is that we have more clearly identified the jobs rather than the kind of general terms that we historically used here, I think since 1996. So I will give you an example. People who work in circuit court will be called deputy clerks of court rather than office associates. Okay, so we are attempting to identify more clearly on this list of job titles what your job is, because in doing the analysis, we find that there are many functions which are very specific to the work that you do and really are not considered appropriately when you use a generic term like office associate. So we have sought to rename many of the jobs, and you'll see that represented in this document. Now, in answer to your question, I'm sorry to take so long, but you will find the comparable jobs, particularly for clericals, listed at the top, and as you compare what the starting wage is with what we've identified as the minimum wage in any given category to the maximum is how best to compare. In general, as the study points out, the clerical jobs are about market average, maybe just a touch below. Our target is 95 to 105%. That is considered market competitive. And when you look through the presentation that Heather presented, you'll see two green lines, one at 95%, one at 105%. That's where we're trying to go. That is the definition, at least for our purposes, of having market consecutive work. So that explains these two things.
Okay. Where now? Here's your proposed, but where's the old one? Right,
along the side.
So some of these are changed. Then you
some
said,
of the,
yeah.
Yeah, the titles
that was
changed.
My problem. Yeah. Okay.
So, but if you take child support enforcement as a job that did not change, or economic support specialist, you can favorably look at what the situation is.
And we looked
these are
at the market position after, assuming this is
emailed.
We compared again to the market.
That's it up there.
Yeah. I didn't know what it all meant.
Yeah,
I'm here tonight.
We did go back and compare how competitive these pay ranges are with the market data we collected. And overall, we're seeing 98% the minimum of the range, 101%, 102% the maximum. So what we're recommending is slight differences that get you exactly to that corner.
For clarification, I think you made a statement before. You said that you updated pay ranges for all of the jobs in the study. My question was, if you had a public sector job that was paid higher than the private sector at the maximum rate, did you still increase that? Or were there some that you didn't raise because
there were some that were not raised.
Specifically?
where
which
jobs
one? Yeah.
were not raised.
Yeah.
Oh, I have probably several, or some are just raised a very little bit. If you look in the any category, that probably is a good place to start.
Where?
NE.
Okay.
Okay? And then you can take this document, which has the jobs as we knew them, or as we know them now. And any one, you will find the administrative assistant is on there, and you will see office clerical support worker is the comparable wage to any assistant, okay? And so while the starting wage will remain at $13 for that particular category, the upper range for that category will go up to just short of $20 instead of the $16.25 as the original range. If you look at office associate, and you go to, I think it is senior administrative assistant, you will find the difference in proposed wages by comparing those two. We did not change the term economic support specialist, and so you can favorably compare those. Real property lister is the same. As I said before, we have identified deputy registers of deeds and then chief deputy registers of deeds, same in the county clerk's office, clerk of circuit court, treasurer. So those are effective ways to compare.
Yeah, is it, that last slide we had, the overall comparison to private versus public, is the goal to get the Kenosha County to the private sector level, which would then, would we then be above public sector, I'm assuming, if there's a 9% gap, or what's
right,
the goal?
Well, I guess you all decide the goal. But what I would recommend is to be consistent with the average of all. We looked at public sector data and private sector data, and generally would aggregate those two together and try to be consistent.
An overall average. And you went job by job?
Yes.
Right.
Recommending it?
Yes.
Instead of just in total? Okay.
And there are certain jobs where it's the private sector, just particularly in the managerial levels, the private sector just pays significantly more. And I think what we found was some of the department director level positions. I just don't know that it's realistic to think about targeting the private sector that high. So, you know, you can always look at each of these individually and decide how you want to, you know, where you think the county can best match or not match any particular employer. But my general recommendation overall is to look at it.
This, in many ways, is about competing for quality employees.
Sure.
And so what we haven't done this in 15 years. Some of you were here, some of you were not. And so we need to compete with the private sector as much as we compete with the public sector to get quality folks to work at our job. And that's why it was time to take this picture. That's why it was time to include as much data as we could grab. And as Heather said, put it in kind of this aggregate lump and then compare where we are with everyone else. So that when we go into the market and we attempt to recruit someone, we're in the running.
Well, you have a number of things going on, I think. There's certainly retirements coming up with the, as more and more employees become eligible for retirement, there is that need to recruit new staff. And I think as the economy continues to improve, you're definitely going to see some economic development in this area. And being able to compete with those new businesses and employers coming into the county. And to have the qualified staff that you need to service those businesses and to service the new residents that come into the county will be crucial. Be crucial to any organization, any business that's looking to relocate here, to know that the county has skilled employees who are going to do the work that needs to be done to facilitate that economic development. It's very important to have the ability to recruit staff.
Ed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reel, if I could ask you a question. I understand the minimum and maximum. we discussed it the other day about how long does it take to go if you just fresh off the street, come in, sign up for the job. Let's say we'll do a child support enforcement specialist, since I can see that up on the screen at NE6. I come in at 2076, or 2074, excuse me. How long is it going to take me to get to 2354?
The
brand new officer.
Right. The proposal of the county, and this is separate from implementation, which I'll talk about in a minute, but in your question, the typical experience would be that an employee on his or her anniversary date would be evaluated, and if the evaluation were above average, then that employee would get 3% of the midpoint for the raise that year. So the lower, you know, if you're in the front half of the scale, you get a little more. If you're on the back half scale, you get a little less. And generally, there are 27 percentage points between the entry level and the back end, which would make it about 8 years.
8 years. And that's for all employees?
No, the management employees have a longer range, okay? And so there's what
over
you
one want. Of those.
So typically, in the county, in our current non-rate pay plan, it takes 11 years to go from the bottom to the top. This would probably take 13 or 14.
Rick, you had a question? A discussion?
Yeah. What percentage or number of employees do you expect not to get any increase because of a average rating or below?
Every employee will receive something this year. We have, this is the implementation structure, and if you thought this was confusing to this point, wait till you hear what comes next. We are implementing gradually because we are proposing a mid-year implementation for this strategy. So assuming for a second that the board passes this and we have an implementation date of July 1st, 50% of our employees, in fact, more than 50% of our employees will have already met their anniversary date, passed their evaluation, and have been able to achieve either a step increase or a adjustment based on a percentage of the midpoint. So as we transition then into the second half of the year, we are going to do exactly the same thing that we did in the first half. So the current, or what we can term the old, method of paying applies for those who are eligible. Now, if you're at the top of the range, of the old range, but you are not at the top of the new range, you will be eligible for 1.5% increase in wages. If you are at the top of both the old and the proposed range, you will get a $500 payment that will not add on to your base wages. And then beginning on 1/1/16, we will start the 3% of the midpoint on your anniversary date with positive evaluation.
How many are in that range, the same old as will be in the new?
I'm sorry, how many are at the top of the range?
Yeah, who won't get more than $500?
About 135.
And those are people listed on this
yes, we have
document called Proposed Position Placement.
Right. The analysis is, well, it's not all those people. Because, you know, clearly we've had new hires.
No, I understand, but there are
several who have reached the top. Look at the clerical. You will see that many of the clerical jobs have about, oh, I don't know, 30 cents in between the top of the old and the top of the new. And so if you are at the top of the old, which many, just looking around the room, many of you are, you would be eligible for that difference.
But that wouldn't be true here, though, on this list called Proposed Position Placement, would it? Because the tops here are all greater than the tops of the old one. True?
That's not true.
There, give me an
some
example.
Are very close.
Very close, but
yeah.
These are all greater, though.
Not amongst the clericals and the highways.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the.
Well, this includes clericals
manager.
And highways.
Well, show me one. For example, just take manager IT application. The top is 113. What is it here?
I think we identified that the unclassified positions in general were significantly below the market, and so should be an expectation, I think, of the managers, for lack of a better description, that they would go up. If you look, however, in the hourly wages, a highway division employee would at the top end receive $23.45. That used to be $26.50. So that's a significant difference.
Discussion? Brittany?
On the proposed policy language changes.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor, for bringing that up.
I don't understand. Maybe the others do, but second to the last paragraph, Bob, specifically what I underlined here, where it says that starting wages beyond the midpoint of the pay range must include budget review, et cetera, et cetera. Budget review, does that mean it's going to be the Finance Committee or defined budget review? Is that going to be coming through our Finance Committee?
No, that would be the county executive would approve a starting wage which is beyond the midpoint of any range. We've established the starting wages to fall between the first wage, the minimum wage, and the midpoint range. And the reason for that is that we have many areas of county government where we are recruiting heavily, and I will use Brookside as an excellent example of this. We need registered nurses at Brookside. Our wages are too low at Brookside for that. And they're not included here yet. They will be in the third round, but it's a good example. So if we are able to successfully recruit a 10-year employee out of United Hospital, for example, to come to Brookside, we need to be able to at minimum match what they earn or at least come close. And that is what I talk about when I talk about being competitive in the market.
I understand that, but my question, when it says must include budget review, this is what confused me, because it says and be approved by the county executive.
Right.
I understand what you're saying about county executive. I thought we were talking about another step in the procedure here.
No, the budget review would be including Alan Dave in the process.
Oh, okay.
Now, this document here, which is the final one we'll talk about before I hand it to Dave to talk about how much this is going to cost. This is where you will find the change in the language that permits the 3% of the midpoint as being the annual raise. And there is another change in this. You will remember that we have the ability to offer special assignment wages for those who work over and above what their job description is or take on a special project. We also have a retention program for those who are contemplating retirement, but maybe enticed to stay another year for some money. We're looking to expand that to permit a response, a retention response is what I'm calling it, to someone who's contemplating leaving county government for a significant increase. And it allows, after review by the personnel office and the finance department, us to offer some sort of retention increase in the wage. Now, the wage would not go beyond the wage ranges as they are presented here. This is very common, again, amongst private sector folks who do not want to lose people. When we begin competing for employees, and if employees who have an opportunity elsewhere, and if we can with a reasonable, and I would argue a financially reasonable response, get them to stay here, we're clearly money ahead, and we get to keep our good employees. The reason personnel office is involved and the reason finance is involved is a check and balance system that comes in a form of a report to the county executive, who has the ultimate authority to approve that retention. Again, this is plucked right out of the private sector, so that when somebody approaches me and says, I'm quitting because I can get $5,000 more somewhere else, we could possibly respond with something quickly.
Further discussion?
Now, Dave has the costing of all of this, and with permission to you, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to turn it over to Dave so that he could explain this.
Just
just on the wages now.
Right.
And vacation.
I don't know if I got Was that part of, was that part of the policy?
Try to find that and put it up on the screen.
Did we not do something in the budget for this year to have a pay raise in the second half of the year?
There is money there.
But how does that interfere with what you just said?
Well, that's what they're going to talk about.
That's what we're going to do now.
Maybe that's not.
I don't think.
In place of.
No.
Well, that's the money there.
It was the money that we set aside for
this. This is the money for it.
It was included.
Yeah.
Does everyone have these documents in front of you on the table?
If you don't, I brought extra.
Yeah, I don't. I was counting.
They're over there on the low table. Oh, you got extras, Jim?
Is there one?
Please.
I can make more.
This is the first. That's a good. It's in the packet.
I got it in the packet, but I didn't get it.
Are we going to explain it to you?
Flip it over.
Does everybody have this?
Going to do the other side first.
Document.
Yeah.
Looks like you got it right there. Okay. What you see here is the report that we used to use for collective bargaining, so you're familiar with the nature of this report. But the difference is that this looks at the cost impact for countywide for all personnel. And then later I'll break it down and talk about the impact just for the employees and the evaluation. So in 2015, the total budget was for personnel was $63.7 million. There's a couple of minor pieces that aren't in there, and then I also don't have health insurance in there. So. But those metrics really aren't impacted by the evaluation. So we budgeted $63.7 million. If you go to the one column to the right that says 2015 new budget cost with 7-1 plan start date, you see the total is $63.5 million. So the thing to understand there is that we have a couple hundred thousand more in the budget than we need to implement this plan. So there's sufficient dollars. We provided sufficient dollars to implement this plan and implement it on July 1st of 2015.
Did you say that was just for the ones looked at now or for the entire project?
The entire county.
I thought that's what I heard, but yeah. I just wanted to clarify.
So there's
Thank you.
Enough money in the entire county, taking into account all employees. So, and this evaluation again looks at all of our roughly 1,000 employees. And then if you move over to 2016, you see that metrics that were presented were at an estimated budget of $54.2 million, an increase of less than 1%. So that's with full plan implementation and also with employees that are not in the plan getting the same pay raise in 2016 that they would get in 2015. So that's what we used to estimate that, which was 1.5% on July 1 for people that are not in the plan. So we're looking at a very reasonable cost to implement the plan of $500,000. The full cost is about $700,000 to $800,000, but we had that $200,000 to $300,000 surplus, so that carries over into 2016 and helps us balance the budget. So this you can see from a big picture standpoint with all employees, not just those in the evaluation, that if we were to approve this, it would have a very modest impact on the budget of roughly $500,000 or less than 0.8%. I would call your attention to this second sheet that really this is just an evaluation for the employees that were looked at in the Heather's review. And you can see the total that we budgeted for the employees in the review was 1,367. If the plan is implemented in 2015, it'll cost 1,131. And there's a, so there's a surplus of 235,200. And the cost to implement for those evaluated in 2016 would be 336,300. And the thing to keep in mind, and I think Bob may have said this, or maybe he's going to say it later, is that 2015 is a transition year. 2016 is full implementation of the 300 to 400 employees that we're looking at. So again, the cost to implement is very modest, and I think reasonable compared to this type of evaluation that organizations like ours do. That concludes my comments on the cost, or other than to say that we're well within budget, and going forward, it's the impact, the fiscal impact is very modest.
Do you have something else?
Yeah, one last comment, and I meant to say this earlier, and I apologize for not doing it. No one is taking a pay cut. Okay, there is nobody taking a pay cut in this proposal. So what you are earning today, even if you far exceed the top of the new rent, you will continue to earn that. So I just wanted to make that clear. For we have a lot of long-term employees, they have earned their money in there. We're respecting them.
All right, further discussion, John?
Can we talk just a little bit about the vacation? When we skimmed over that a little bit, but can you drill down into that a little bit more compared to private sector, or where are you going with that,
sure,
with the results?
There's no change in this proposal in our PTO process.
So there was some disparity there.
Well, it's a significant disparity. It's just for the purpose of this request, there is no change in the vacation.
Baby steps.
So that's off the table completely. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just done.
For this, I don't know if or how it will come back, if it does. Mm-hmm. But it won't be. It would be through the budget.
Rick?
Yeah, I don't know about the rest of the Finance Committee, but I just received my information, was it yesterday afternoon?
Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday afternoon. There's a lot of information here to receive on Wednesday and vote on Thursday. I got a letter in the mail today from two employees. I don't know if the rest of you people received it. It was mailed to everybody on the Finance Committee. Personally, I think I need more time to assess, you know, how the employees feel, how the constituents feel about this, and to really take a look at the comparisons, as Bob explained them. A lot of information to look over in just a matter of 2 days. Now, I commend the administration for, you know, coming in with pay raises for the employees, and I know it's necessary, and the employees that you always lose to be the cream of the crop, you know, and we need to address that. I'm glad we are, but I'd like to make a motion to table this for a vote until next meeting. I know Ron Frederick wanted to be a part of it, and he's not here, so I'll make a motion to table this until our next Finance Committee meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The motion to table is non-debatable. Why don't we just go around the room and have a roll call, Jeff?
No.
No.
Yeah. No.
Here.
Yes.
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 No.
Motion fails.
Fails.
What is it?
Three to three.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
that
failed. 4-4. Mm-hmm. But 3-2.
It's 4-4.
3-3. Further discussion? Aaron?
Just one question for Dave. When you talk about the budget impact, you said it includes all the classifications, even the classes that aren't being studied now.
Right.
The budget impact? Or so, how do you factor those costs in if
we
haven't studied yet?
Well, we estimated the same increase in 16 as they got in 15. 1.5% in mid-year.
Oh, you're just factoring 1.5% for everyone.
Right. We just used the same increase in 16 that was approved by the county board for 15 to estimate those not in the evaluation. And it doesn't, the other thing is it's not adjusted for any increases or decreases in staffing either. I mean, that's not in here.
Further discussion?
I just, with all due respect, I was able to get my information over the weekend. So I did have a chance to review it. Did this go out Friday or?
It was emailed out, yeah, consistent with the deadlines, which are Thursday.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're, you know.
Okay. Further discussion? It's your pleasure.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Further discussion? Seeing none, why don't we come to a vote on this and we'll do a roll call. If your chair would entertain further discussion if you like. If not, I'll call the vote. Jeff?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Aaron?
Yes.
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right, it passes, and it'll be on the agenda Tuesday.
Correct. And I'll distribute the resolution for signature.
Explain it.
Sorry, just explain it.
Oh, we'll have, Heather will be at the meeting, and personnel director will be there.
Contact that came up.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks.
I've done that before. Usually I just stick it in my mouth.
When are you going to have Brookside done? Last? Should have been first.
All right, why don't we move on then to are the bills being circulated, Dave? Or the bills being circulated for?
Yeah, it goes on.
Why don't you?
What happened to like the?
All right, we'll go on to the report section, and thank you.
Aaron.
Thank you.
The report section, bonding, was that?
Sort of like the,
yeah.
Social Security thing or whatever.
Let's give everyone a moment.
They got pulled. They're not going to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that so that never came back to this committee?
No. No, they decided not to proceed with that because they already had some people that they had started this year with the Social Security, and new people starting, and it would have been.
All right, we'll continue our meeting. You're certainly welcome to stay, and if you're going to leave, perhaps you can adjourn the conversations to the hallway.
Well, by gateway.
You're certainly welcome to stay as well.
As everyone departs.
All right, we're on the bonding section here.
You've never seen so much paper in your life, have you?
So much quality paper.
I know.
One left.
Who else?
It's a little reward for sitting here.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, my doctor says chocolate's always in order.
If you recall, you adopted a parameters resolution at the earlier board meeting and authorized us to go to bid and refund the debt issues that finance the public safety building and get out from under what we call the BAPS, the Build America Bonds, and also the Super BAD. And we had an objective of 75 basis points in savings, and the total refunded was $21 million, and we were able to execute that deal. Remember, we weren't 100% sure if we would be able to do that, and a lot depended on the marketplace. And, if you flip the page, you'll see that the low bid was 2.4%. This is page one of this report, and Hutchinson Shockey is the company that approved that had the lowest bid.
Didn't really pay any attention.
Okay.
With what?
I don't think the door should.
Yeah. I'm fine with them being open during my report. Page two and three, you can see the bids. Hutchison Shockey was, yes, had the best bid. Baird came in second. The financial capital markets came in third, and Stiefel came in fourth. So again, you see the merit of putting yourself to bid. Then if you flip to page four, you can see the total there. You can see the combined total, the 21,920 and with the sources of 23 million. Bear with me for a second. Go to page six. You can see in the yellow column, you can see the savings. So in 2016, we'll save 69,000. Of course, that's split roughly two-thirds to the county and one-third to the city. And the total and a dollar saving is 648,000. Net present value, if you just look at the yellow block just below that, 512,112. So roughly half a million of present value savings, and 2.2% is the net present value benefit. So we,
Ed, would you leave the doors open because it's a public meeting? We don't want to indicate otherwise.
Two inches, if you want.
So the rest of this report,
that's good.
Entails the breakout for each of the issues, but there's a couple of other points of interest. So, we did authorize the deal as approved by the board, and we were taking the $500,000 savings and the 2.2%. 2.2% is actually at about the threshold that we would authorize for a normal refinancing, even though this was what we called a current refunding. It wasn't an advance refunding. So because it was a current refunding, there's not a restriction on if the rates go down again, we can refund it again. So we don't have that kind of restriction. But even at an advance refunding, where there are restrictions by federal law, and also it's harder to get the marketplace to approve if you don't put language in the debt covenants that restrict when you would refund it. We were still over the 2% threshold there. So this was a real pretty good deal, and I'm real happy with how it came out. And it'll reduce the debt service costs over to joint services, for the joint services. So I want to touch on the bond rating. And where's the press?
Page 15?
They're gone.
They're gone.
They're always here when you need them, right? Page 10 is Fitch. And that was pretty status quo. I was pretty happy with the Fitch review. We had a good session with Fitch. I should give credit to my team here on the front part of the meeting, where they did a great job and worked on the closing of the books, and our budget was so successful. And then on the back end, where the same team helped with this rating review and did an excellent job of putting the whole package together and being responsive to the needs of the rating agencies. But so Fitch, it's an interesting report. I would recommend taking about 10 minutes per report and reading it. And just a good and interesting report. I'm not going to talk too much about the Fitch report. But if you flip over to the S&P report, as I heard Supervisor O'Day talk about the Standard & Poor's report, they revised our outlook to positive from stable, which is pretty big news for us. So
there he is.
And
Is that what adequate economy?
Adequate economy is a better comment than what we had during the previous session.
After the poor.
Yeah. And, but
you've done an adequate job.
One thing that's interesting in here is that the if you look at the under the adequate economy section, about the fourth line or fifth line down, it says the county has projected per capita effective buying income of 85.3% of the U.S. level, which has improved from 83%. Now that's interesting to me, and that's their projection. I mean, we didn't come up with that. They analyzed in their database and see that we have more, that our spendable income is increasing, which means the amount paid per job is increasing. So there's a lot of discussion about this. I think you're tracking with me and know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. What kind of jobs do we have here? Right. We talked about the high impact fund. We talked about Amazon and Kenall and the rest of it. Our spendable income has increased significantly in a really short period of time over from 1 year to the next. So it kind of debunks that negative impression people have that the low-paying jobs, a fact-based analysis shows that to be untrue, which is always a good thing to base your thinking on, fact-based versus myth. You can see they continue with the strong budgetary, very strong budgetary flexibility, very strong liquidity. That adequate budgetary performance, we need to evaluate that because we had very good budgetary performance and our budget balance, we had a surplus, we were within our legal budget. However, we carry over money. So when you look at a financial statement, if it was money from a past year that you carried over and spent this year, you end up with a deficit because you didn't have current income for that. That's the way the income statement functions. The other thing is we, on a kind of a small scale, not really that huge, but you heard Kathy talk about how we reimbursed ourselves for the repair of this building. When the opportunity presented itself, we decided to accelerate the timeline of this building and get it done, trying to beat the cost increases in the marketplace that we're seeing happening, and also just get the building finished and get through the renovation sooner. But we carried a little over $1 million deficit in the capital project fund for that. So that's what's going on here. And I just want to get a more granular evaluation to the rating agencies next time and address this word adequate on budgetary performance. Again, they say we have very strong management conditions and strong debt and contingent liability profile. And I think that the report's similar to the past, but it is a major change that they look at the outlook as positive versus stable.
What's your reaction to the statement in the last section? We do not expect general fund results in future years will be as significant.
Well,
do not expect budgetary performances score will improve during the next few years.
So what I presented to them was a break-even budget. So we have a budget forecast that we do, and the forecast goes out for, 8 years? And I'm very conservative in how I present it, and I don't show surpluses, a significant increase in surplus. But I don't show significant increases in sales tax, Medicare revenue, jail revenue. I just show status quo. So for example, the almost $2 million surplus we had in sales tax, I didn't use that in my forecast. I don't have comfort yet. The trends are too fresh. You have maybe 24 months of trending there. So, and they know that. I talk to them very frankly about that, and I, that's really the way I've been doing it for 30 years. Despite that, they saw fit to increase the outlook to positive, which means that there's a significant chance of getting a rating upgrade if the trends continue for a period of time.
Can you, I suggest that you, these two reports go with the board
sure.
materials.
Yeah.
And could you also put together sort of a summary sheet, one sheet on this refunding, the interest rate, the savings, just one sheet so people know, have kind of closure on the issue.
Good. Yeah, I have a question on page 10. It's a novice in this matter. Under security, it says that the county, talking about the county, you mentioned unlimited taxing power. Isn't the taxing power limited by the state?
Yeah, the meaning of unlimited means that it's the, if you look at the ranking of creditors, they're not. If we issue GO bonds, they're not set. They don't take a second or third. They're first. So it doesn't mean whether it's limited statutorily. That's not the meaning of that phraseology there. But to answer that part, yeah, there is a limit. We're significantly below the limit, but there is a 5% cap.
Yeah. Okay.
And we also cap ourselves by our own debt policy.
I didn't want to be making a statement that wasn't true. All right.
This has to do with using your funds to repay the bonds.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it means.
Constitutionally, we have state levy limit cannot apply to debt service that you must issue for legally authorized and issued debt. So for example, if we, in the last year's budget, we had about $14 million of scheduled for debt service. Going forward, a lot of those issues still have amortized payments to be made. So you cannot impose a levy limit on that.
Okay.
All right. Anything further on this?
Is there a motion?
No motion. Okay. It's just a report. Okay. We probably have a few other reports to make. Right, Al, we probably have a couple comments to make on a few things, but if not, I've got this floor here. You want me just to... For the FICA, we decided to pull that back and send it back for analysis, so we're not going to bring that back. I think at the last meeting it might have been tabled.
Tabled.
Right.
It can just stay on the table. We're not bringing that back. And we are going to analyze that, and then after we complete our analysis, we'll possibly bring further discussion of that to the committee. And there was one other item I was going to comment on, but did you want to say anything else on any of these other reports? So we did add an item to our agenda, and it was to have a preliminary discussion on our reserve policy. So many years ago, the county adopted a reserve policy, and if the committee would like to go through another policy review session with a target of having something that would be integrated into our budget process in October and November, I would be happy to do that if the committee wants to look at our reserve policy. Right now, you know, you just heard a report from my fiscal team, and you can see that we had a reserve policy of 17% of general fund spending. And you can see that we're at about 25% of that. And, you know, there's a lot more that went into development and establishment of the policy than just those couple of pieces. But if you want to, I could send out copies of the policy at our next meeting. We could go through a policy setting exercise similar to what we did about not quite a decade ago, but some years ago when we established the policy. We can look at all the pluses and minuses of the current policy and whether there are some updates that might be of merit, and the typical thing we do when we go through a policy setting exercise. And I didn't know if anyone else on the
Aaron wrote me an email on this and prompted the inclusion of this item on the agenda, if you want to express your views.
Yeah, as I was looking over all the documents in the last couple of meetings that we've got, a pretty good sizable balance above 17%. And I'm just thinking about, is 17% the right number going forward? Should it be higher? Should it be the same? And then just with some of the challenges ahead, you know, potentially what happens at the state level, or if we're in this position, could we use some of that surplus to cover future needs, or even to fund things like the high impact fund instead of borrowing for it? Could we use the surplus to do some of that economic development? Just maybe different things we could look at. Maybe it's a good time, we're in a good position. That's kind of my thought. So
every year, and I'm not on highway anymore, I was on that committee, but every year we ratchet it down. But I understand this year they're going up, what was mentioned at the last meeting. But that's only a little up. That wasn't really going to be a lot. But some of that money could be used for catch up on that, because they've always been shortchanged. Every year I've been on this county board, the highway department has been kind of shortchanged. And we went from how many miles down to 12 in 1 year.
Well, what is it?
Those kinds of things. No.
13 now, I think.
I think the highway.
Was it 13?
13. We were at 17 at one time. I understand from Gary that this year the costs are, that's why you're able to stretch it this year, another mile and a half of what you've got now. But I mean, some of that, I don't know if it's not necessarily a finance committee to do it, but I think it's worthy of looking at whether administration, highway.
So it's going
just one item from my standpoint.
It's 14. The average is 13 for the last, ever since
so
I've been around.
So is it, with this new addition, is it going to 14?
No, for this year we budgeted 13. For the new budget for this year?
I thought there was some mention about
the cost of oil and the asphalt went down. We're supposed to be able to do an additional mile and a half.
Right.
Yeah, because of the cost of material and those kinds. If the cost is really that reasonable, I don't know how long it's going to stay that way, but it might be something to look at. I'm not saying spend all the money, but you know, we're way over 17%.
Well, it's dollars.
That's taxpayers' dollars. It's not being used right now.
It's 5 million over 17%.
Yeah, it's way over, and we taxed the people for that money. We got it. They don't have it anymore. Let's put it to use, some of it at least.
But remember, it's not just the cost of the asphalt. It's also the time that it takes for the employees to do it.
It's materials. It's equipment.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's never going to get any cheaper.
Right.
Well.
I
it's just something that I think
these are all
brought by his name.
This and several other items we could bring in, have a discussion, and this is all ground that I've walked over in the past, and the discussion on highways is like deja vu from a quarter century ago, 10 years ago. You know, so same thing with a lot of the other items. So it's. Talk about it.
Does the committee, there's no motions here. Do you want to agenda this for a discussion?
Yes.
You can take no action, too.
Well, I think the only ones that would have been here would have been John and you, and I think that this would be a good exercise for all of us to go through, whether we raise it, lower it, or leave it the same.
Oh, you mean the amount, the percentage?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just to look at everything.
All right, we'll put it on the next regular agenda then.
Good. Mm-hmm.
All right, anything else, Jeff?
Yeah, my only concern with that is I understand what everybody's saying, but $5 million can get eaten up pretty quick if you have a problem.
Right.
And when we just hear, you know, Dave going on and on about a glowing bonding report, you know, we have to make sure that we don't weaken our position so that we can get our bond rating increased, because that far outweighs everything else. I mean, the amount we would pay in interest would be huge as far as a saving. So, I mean, that, and I'm not advocating one way or another. I'm just saying you can't just say, oh, we have a little extra money, let's throw it here. I don't mind analyzing it, but we have to keep everything in perspective.
I think the exercise will be good.
Yeah, we have to keep everything in perspective to what's the best for our constituents.
Good thing for you guys to leave with.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, should we move on to the next item?
I think that covers it. Any other?
I don't have any additional items.
All right, any other discussion? Yes?
I have one thing. I would request the Sheriff's Department to come before us with a report on their inmate intake on revenue and average number of inmates for the first quarter for our next meeting. They're going to be doing that for judiciary and law, and so that there wouldn't be a problem bringing that to us, and I'd be concerned. I'd be interested in hearing that.
You want that on the next agenda?
I want that on the next agenda.
Anything else? Any other requests for the next agenda?
Move to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 I'll let you hear.
Coming out, we will see the same materials with the charts.
Okay.
We just passed here.